When you think of the book of Psalms, what do you think of? Maybe you think of a long book, long chapter, short chapters. Maybe you think of the book of Psalms being like the hymnal of the Old Testament. You think of the songs of the Old Testament. Another thing as you think of the book of Psalms is you can think of prayer. And in the book of Psalms, you find prayers that the psalmist prayed to the Lord. And in fact, Psalm 72, verse 20 says, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." In the book of Psalms, we also find prayers. Prayers that are offered to the Lord, and it can provide us with instructional points on prayer in our lives. And I'd like to do that tonight. We're going to be in the book of Psalms and look at some things that hopefully can help us as we bring our prayers to the Lord. First of all, I'd like us to see the attitude that we ought to approach the Lord with. Let's go over to Psalm 102. And we're going to be turning in a lot of passages in Psalms tonight. We're going to be probably moving fairly quickly. So be ready to move. And Psalm 102, verse number 17. Hopefully this will be helpful to you this evening. If we think of prayer, sometimes we might think, boy, I need to grow in my prayer life. You know, I need to get a really good book on prayer. And while that can be a great thing, and hopefully those books on prayer are emphasizing the Scripture, but tonight, hopefully by looking at the Word of God, this can help us in our prayers. Psalm 102, verse 17, it says, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." Now, this shows us an attitude, a condition that we can come to the Lord in. You know, here we have nothing, but yet what? God hears our prayer. As we come to the Lord in prayer this evening, do we come in that state of destitute? I have nothing. You know, we need the Lord to work because we are powerless. There's nothing that we have. It is only God that can meet the need that is in our lives. And God wants us to come with that desperation. We're destitute. We have nothing. You know, if you have nothing to give, nothing to offer. You know, imagine if you got a phone call at home and maybe it was, you know, somebody on the other end of the line and, hey, so-and-so just got in a car accident. And you could do nothing about it. And they were in desperate situation. What would you do? You'd cry out to the Lord for help. You know, imagine if you're in a state where something happened and you were in a desperate financial need and you could do nothing. You know, there's more energy in our prayers when we really realize the state, the condition we are in. And here it says, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute." Those that understand that they have nothing. And what a promise. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Let's go to Psalm 138 and verse number 6. You know, even as we think about the last verse, we're thinking about revival meetings, maybe souls that need to be saved, our own need for revival in our own lives. Are we coming as destitute people? Lord, we need your help. We have nothing. Psalm 138, verse 6 says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." And just a simple truth of that we need to come before the Lord in humility. Let's go to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. You know, and here we really, in this passage, we find that prayer is really, it's a way of life. Psalm 145, and let's begin in verse number 16. It says, "Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy." Here in this passage, we find the special relationship that the Lord has with those that love him, with those that fear him, with those that call upon him in truth. You know, prayer is not like maybe some people have said, just taking, you know, a book on the shelf, or, you know, like putting God on the shelf, we just take it off when we need him. Prayer is really a way of life. When we really believe in prayer, we're going to live our lives a certain way. We're going to live our lives in the fear of the Lord. We're going to call upon him in truth. We're going to understand who God is. And we're going to call upon him based upon who he is. And we're going to live our lives in such a fashion. You know, going through Psalms and you find them, you know, sometimes you hear these prayers against the wicked. And you know, the psalmist was what? He was living his life before God in a certain fashion that would be pleasing to God. And so as we think about prayer, prayer is really, it's a way of life. We live a way, a certain way. We want to have, we love God. We want to have this connection with God. And so we need to see prayer as not just something we do, but it's, prayer really needs to involve the whole way we operate and live our lives. Do we really want to have that connection with God? As we think about, you know, Wednesday night prayer meetings. You know, Wednesday night prayer meeting doesn't start when you come to church. It's really all day long. It's all week long. And we need to understand prayer as a way of life. It says he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. You know, that we can come to God because he loves us. And you know what? We love him and God is pleased. You know, he wants to reach out and meet the needs that we have. But he wants that what? He wants that relationship with us. So we see the importance of the attitude and the life that we come to prayer with. Let's also look at the state. You know, what kind of a state, what kind of a condition do we come to the Lord in prayer? Psalm 120, verse 1. You know, this can be encouraging to us. Psalm 120, verse 1. It says, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." Boy, distressful situations right here. The next verse he talks about, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." You know, when people are saying false things about you, that can be a stressful situation. And when we are in those distressful times of life, we can come to the Lord and bring those needs before him. Psalm 130. You know, sometimes when we come to prayer, we don't always feel fit to come to the Lord. And maybe because we don't feel fit, we just, I'm not going to pray. Well, Psalm 130, verse 1 says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And what a blessed truth to be able to come to the Lord and realize that there is what? There is forgiveness. You know, if God marked iniquities, if God kept track of every single one of our sins and didn't forgive them, none of us could come to God in prayer. But we can come to the Lord in prayer, realizing that, you know what? God forgives sins. What a blessed truth. But there is forgiveness with thee. And notice, it's not there's forgiveness with thee, I can go out and do whatever I want. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be what? That thou mayest be feared. Let's go to Psalm number 61. You know, do you ever feel overwhelmed in life? Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. And now notice the psalmist. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, when my heart is overwhelmed. You know, maybe tonight you're carrying a burden. There's something that just overwhelming you. The Bible says, you know what? Go to the Lord. It says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When we are overwhelmed, it is a place that we can come to the Lord in, and He can bring deliverance. Psalm number 86. Psalm number 86, we find another promise in prayer. Let's begin in verse number 6. It says, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. You know, is there a troubling situation in your life? You don't know what to do, how to deal with it? Well, come to the Lord with it. You know, maybe there's a need, a spiritual need in your family, a spiritual need in your life, and you just don't know what the answer is. Come to the Lord. And then verse number 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You know, what a blessed promise that we have there in prayer. You know, God is a good God. God is ready to forgive. You know, even in our own lives, fathers, we need to be what? Ready to forgive. You know, our response in forgiveness can be teaching our children really God's response of forgiveness. And if we resist forgiving, they're not going to understand God's attitude of forgiveness towards us like they could if we would represent, if we would exemplify the right spirit of forgiveness. Then I'd like to see, let's see a result of prayer. Psalm 138 gives us a result of prayer. Psalm 138 and verse number 3 says, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. The psalmist cried unto the Lord. And what happened? God strengthened him with strength in his soul, in his inner being. God did something that only what? That only God could do. You know, are you crying out to God? Is there that energy, that cry involved in your prayer because you are desperate for God to do something? I know it's a rebuke in my own life. You know, how often do we just pray, but we don't cry out to God? Let's go to the purpose of prayer. Let's go, Psalm 60. Well, you're in close in the hundreds there. Let's go to 109. 109, verse 26 and 27. Psalm 109, verses 26 and 27. It says, help me, O Lord my God, O save me according to thy mercy. Why? That they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Notice what the psalmist said. Help me, verse 27, why? That they may know that this is thy hand. Do you want people to see that it's God's hand that is working in your life? Do you want people's attention to be drawn to what God is doing? That God is behind what is happening in your life? That thou, Lord, hast done it? You know, in our prayers, may we be purposed that people would see God at work. This isn't just some human working, but this is God at work. And that's something that we need to be seeking for in our prayers. And something that we can be asking God for, that people would see that this is something that is that God is doing. Then let's go to Psalm 67. Verses 1 and 2. It says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Notice verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. So, the psalmist is asking for God's blessing. Why? That thy way may be known upon earth. Do we want God's workings, God's dealings with men to be known? And that's why we want God's blessing upon our life. Is that God's ways, the way that God works, can be seen through our lives. And what would that cause people to do? That would cause people to want to do what? Follow after God. So there's a God focus that ought to be present in our prayer life. Then let's look at some reasons to pray. Let's go to Psalm 121. What would cause us to want to pray? Psalm 121, let's look at verses 1 and 2. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from who? From the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, as we think of coming to the Lord in prayer for help, who are we coming to? We are coming to the God that made heaven and earth. What an amazing thing. Psalm 124, verse 8, a similar truth here. It says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who what? Who made heaven and earth. What is prayer? It's coming to the God that created everything around us, who has all power to solve the problems that we have, to see his work, his will furthered in the lives of those around us. Boy, we have reason to pray because we are coming to the God that made heaven and earth. What an amazing blessing that we have. look who God is. Look at the God that we have who is on our side. And then I'd like us to see the importance of the right thoughts as we pray. If we go over to Psalm number 94. Actually, I'd like us, if we can go to Psalm 77 instead. Psalm 77, here's the psalmist. He's under distress. Verse 2, he says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. I remembered God and was troubled. Verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? In verse 9, hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy, Selah? You know, aren't these thoughts that people have sometimes, like, is God not working anymore? You know, what's happening? Well, go down to verse number 9. Verse number 12. Notice what he says. He says, let's start in verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Now here we find that what did the psalmist do? He meditated on the works of God. He needed to have the right thoughts of God. And as he meditated on what God had done, it encouraged his heart that God is at work, that God is powerful, that God can answer the deep distress that he was going through in his life. We need to be thinking correctly about God, about what he has done when we come to prayer. We need to, you know, that can encourage us to pray with what? With faith. Understanding what God has done and what he will do. And in Psalm number 92, verses 5 and 6, I'm going to begin in verse 4. It says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. But notice verse 6. It says, a brutish man. I think that has the idea of like a brute beast, just somebody that doesn't really think, just almost is animal-like in their thinking. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth what? A fool understand this. You know, we need to have the right thinking in our prayers about God and about his wonderful works. And over there, the verse I had mentioned before, Psalm number 94, probably just about right there, it says, verse 19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And when we think correctly about God, it can be a what? It can be a great joy to us in our lives. And as we come to God in prayer, we need to have correct thinking about how God works and what he has done. And you know, there's other things in the book of Psalms, things that another category is just things that the psalmist prayed for. And we're not going to go into those things tonight. But tonight, you know, come to God with the right attitude. You know, you have deep burdens of your soul, bring them to the Lord. You know, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall what? He shall sustain thee. Understand that you are coming to the God that made heaven and earth. It ought to give us really every reason to pray that the God that made heaven and earth wants us to bring these things before him. But as we leave this place tonight, may we remember that don't just wait till the next prayer meeting, but realize that prayer is a life that is lived in a relationship with God. And those are the prayer, and that is the life of prayer that God can bless. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us to have the right thinking on prayer tonight. And Lord, I know in my own life how much I need this. And Lord, you are a prayer-answering God. You've commanded us to pray. And Lord, may you just help us to see prayer the way that you would want us to see it. Lord, may you strengthen us even as we go to prayer tonight, that your will would be accomplished in this place and your name would be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.